10 a.m. We are going to have a roll call. Mr. Robertson?
Present.
Ms. Lee?
Present.
Chairman Trent? Present. Mr. Wesson?
Present.
And Mr. Atkins?
Present.
Thank you. Invocation, pledge allegiance be by Ms. Lee.
Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house yesterday and to worship. We thank you for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day, Lord. Now, as we go throughout this meeting, Lord, I just pray that everything that is said and done will be pleasing unto your sight. And Lord, help us to guide this county into the future of and just be with our every decision in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Shall we stand?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Commissioner Lee.
My pleasure.
Okay, I'd like to welcome everybody here to the March 21st Commissioners Meeting. And at 10:05, request for partners of Bertie County pursuant North Carolina Great Grant for Broadband Services, Roanoke Connect. How you doing, sir?
All right, how are you?
I'm good.
Right. Oh, there's feedback. A terrible echo.
Feedback. Be quiet. So I wanted to say good morning, and I appreciate the time. I've been with Roanoke probably since July, August of last year. And so what I'd like to talk to first, I think, is I understand that there's been some history, and I think that people have done, you know, what they believe is the right thing to do and with the information they had. And I think Curtis, you all probably know, realized that there was an opportunity here and wanted to get the right leadership in place. And so we're really looking forward, and I think we've come up with the right solution. Just to give you a little bit real brief, because I don't want to bore everyone, but I've been in the industry for about 25 years. Was responsible, I don't know if any of y'all know Roadrunner from his old Time Warner High Speed Data, but was responsible for that. Both launched it and then was responsible at corporate level, and then was managed the Carolinas for about 5-6 years for them. So I've been doing this for a while. Been in the Carolinas for about 17 years, and the opportunity to come out and do what we believe is the right thing to do and do something for the communities is really the biggest reason I'm here. I think it's just an absolute critical thing that we need to accomplish, and I hope to work with you all to get that done. So with that said, real quick, I want to thank you all for your time, as you can see. And then the commitment is that we've got is, you know, really working together to deliver a high-speed fiber service to every member of your community, period. That's our goal.
Even non-customers?
Period.
Okay.
We'll deliver critical infrastructure to counties and their municipalities, connect vital services across the region. So not only to the communities at large, but also to work with you all to see what facilities that you've got, how we might be able to connect those and deliver a service and connectivity each of those facilities as well. So it's not just the residents and the businesses that reside in the county, but also the county and municipalities itself, from this courthouse to sheriff's office and fire departments and whatever y'all have, to even if you wanted to do, you know, your traffic lights. So this is really up to y'all. This is what we've, and I kind of blew this up. So by May 22, in the lower left, you can see kind of a frame of reference where we're at. This is what we've built in Bertie County and we'll have done by the end of May. It's all fiber, everything blue is fiber, and everything we do in the future will be fiber. All right, it'll be 100% what is called XGS-PON, which is future-proof, able to give over a gig symmetrical to anyone who subscribes.
Where is that located at right there?
This year?
Yeah.
This is I would consider your northwest all the way to central. So it goes down, touches Windsor, but then goes all the way up to your left, as you can see up at the Allender, right? It's down. I can get this.
Yeah, we'd like to have that.
Yeah,
if you can.
And then that's May 22. And then this is what will be beginning once that's completed, and what we'll have completed by the end of the year, 2022.
And where's that going to start and finish
that'll
it?
Go, that's basically your southwest area, going all the way from Cahaba down to Woodard, right? That whole and everyone that lives there. It'll start in the town of Windsor, and it'll go all the way, if you turned it, basically you're far west to your far east. So all the way, that whole, anybody who lives in that quadrant will have done by the
year. Far west and far east, you said?
Yes, sir.
So I see the blue line heading towards Lewis and Woodville.
Yep.
So that would be covered on this?
Yeah, so we've already, so we're going to hit in the May 22. So if you look, there, I'll show you here. See down here, I don't
know why. No, go ahead.
So Lewis and Woodville here. So May 22, we'll have that done. Right. And then way over here is Taylor Square. Trying to think what else. Like Buena Vista, all under up top. So that's what we'll have by end of May.
So end of May, May 22.
Yeah.
We're going to be as far as west as Lewiston, probably Kelford and Roxville also.
Everything west of 13?
No, I'm going to make sure expectations are set. I think that we'll have fiber along certain routes all the way down to Lewis and Woodville, all the way as far west. We don't actually touch Calford, but we're just north of there, right? Because we're going down, again, we continue to follow a prior design that went down specific routes and was related to the initial great grants of, let's say 2021.
Yeah, well, that's my question. I did get a chance to see those initial kind of rollout decisions. Yep. Now, that's where you're going to have fiber. But correct. That doesn't mean that you're going to have connectivity necessarily there. Is that correct?
We will have, along the routes that you see there, and I'll send you the roads exactly. Okay. So if we pass you down those paths, you will.
Okay. So that means that not just for existing customers, but anyone.
Anyone. Doesn't matter whether that just this doesn't matter. Listen, if you live on that road and you want service, we're going to provide.
Okay. Gotcha.
So how long before you get to everything east?
I'm gonna show you.
Okay. I'll hold my, so because I live east.
Yeah, I know. I so you can see southwest now. Southwest Vertee will be covered, right? If you go again, if I look at this all the way, you're gonna go southeast of Woodard, and then northwest above Cahaba.
Above what?
Cahaba. Cahaba.
But and you stop at Wooded Road going south. Is that the end?
Basically, we're going to cover, right? So if you look, the end of the county lines here.
Yeah.
All we're going to cover. So what we're doing differently. Let me back up. And again, one of the reasons that I'm here is that, and what you'll see in this year, in the prior. You'll see those are specific roads. We built down some roads. We're going to provide everybody on those roads service. But you'll see here is that whole area will be served. Every road, every area, every resident, every business. So when we cover the Southwest from north to south or northwest to southeast, every home in that area be able to receive, whether they're Roanoke, whether they're powered by Roanoke Electric or not.
All right. So hypothetically, as it's being ran down 308, as you're indicating towards Lewiston Woodville, and I assume you're going almost to Kelford. Mm-hmm. I assume you're getting into Purdue's and mm-hmm. Valley Proteins and all that kind of stuff. People that live 2 or 3 miles off of 308,
right.
Would they have service also?
If they are in this build, they absolutely will. If they are not, we probably have to put that right up the answer right now. If they're not, like if you look at this, right, mm-hmm. and I'm off. I mean, let's just give you an example. So, 308. Right? This isn't happening on 308. It's not coming down 11 and then goes down into town of Lewis,
Chris Lewis in Woodville. And if I'm on any of these roads, I'll have service. If I'm right there, then I would.
And the service is going to be a wired connection?
Fiber.
Fiber, okay. So give an example. I live off Highway 17, about a half mile, and that's on Ward Road. Mm-hmm. And they have service down the road, but you got to be within 300 feet in order to pick that up. Is yours not
distance
related? We don't, directly in?
Yeah, so we don't have, so there's a couple of, and I'm not coming from what some may call, you know, the incumbents, right? They have very specific, we had, because I was part of the group that would make those up, right? We have very specific density and very specific distance rules, right? Our goal, and I think the one thing that really, you know, we've got the same mission as y'all. We want to serve as many people as we possibly can. And if you're 300 feet, that doesn't matter. We do 1,500 foot drops today. We do them all day long. So it doesn't matter. I'm going to get to, so this we talked about, this so y'all, because yeah, I know you've got it. So this is 2025. This is according to NC1, which we're just using because it's the most consistent. You know, we can all go to NC1 and we can say, oh, here's the address. This is every location that you have in Berkeley County completely served by 2025. That's our goal.
And that speed will be consistent with the requirements of that of this grant?
It will be a gig symmetrical or greater. You can get below, right? So we'll be able to provide, and I don't know if you all have worked with or are working with Patrick and at the NC Rural Center and Joe Cardoso, those guys.
Yeah.
And so we responded to the questionnaire that was put forth, and we'll provide, right, gig plus service, but we'll also provide a service that is $30, so that if you are, you do qualify for the program, but in essence, you'd be able to get a service, a high speed, meeting above the current minimum requirements at no cost because of the existing ACP program.
No cost.
Right, because it'd be $30. And if you qualify for the program, it's $30 a month. So if it's the product's $30 and you receive $30 credit, your actual cost is zero.
What is the qualifications? Do you know that now?
I think they're in line with the prior EBB. It's the ACP is the one that replaced it. So it's right in line with that.
Okay.
And what's the difference with the Rental Connect and what you're presenting now?
Nothing really. I mean, I think that the difference is that I'm here. And then I've been here, and I think that I've been doing this for a long time. And I think the mission that both Curtis and Marshall now have and the rest of us is right. To deliver this service to as many people as we possibly can.
And what will happen to the Rental Connect? Be deleted? You still could use it?
Oh, yeah, no. I'm responsible for Rental Connect. Nothing's changed. It's nothing just changed. A strategy change.
Okay.
I think that if you look at some of the technologies, I don't know, again, so for example, fixed wireless, right? Fixed wireless or any wireless service, doesn't matter whether it's LOE, which is Elon Musk's, you know, all the...
Right.
Any wireless communication actually communicates in the path of a football, right? You've got two paths that go like this. So if you wanted to cut down all your trees in the entire county, it's a fantastic technology. And it didn't rain and you had no ice storms, right? It's great. It's really fantastic. But you do have trees. You do have some weather, I think. And so because of that, I don't know how many of y'all have satellite, but I'm sure that during weather and during some other things that you're gonna have challenges, and there's no difference. The only reason that you're able to use your cell phone is different. The reason that your cell phone, right, where you do have service, the reason you're able to have service is because you've got so many towers. So you've got the same issue, like it's still a football like this, but where you get good service, that means I'm getting multiple towers. So I get by a bunch of very different areas. So with fiber, I don't have to worry about it, right? I don't have to worry about weather. I don't have to worry about anything unless a backhoe comes over it. And I don't have to worry about 10 years from now or 20 years from now with what we're delivering. If 10 gig becomes the norm, we'll be able to do 10 gig tomorrow.
Okay, good.
So as you can see, we've got 900 miles, over 25,000 residents, businesses, basically over 25,000 locations. that we, again, according to NC1.
And this is by 2025.
Yep.
You think you have Bertie County completely covered?
That's our goal. Our goal is to be able to reach 25 miles a week in construction by the end of this mm-hmm. year. And if we're able to, which we have fairly level, high level of confidence, we'll be able to do.
And everything's underground.
It's underground or aerial, depending on what we've got. If it's our, you know, we're working with, in fact, we're working with Dominion really closely where we don't have our own facilities. Mm-hmm. They've been, because we're, so, you know, they've been good to work with for us because we're both power companies. So that was very positive.
All right. Let me ask you another question. Mm-hmm. Roanoke Connect is a subcontractor of Roanoke Electric?
It's a subsidiary.
So subsidiary. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we're wholly owned by Roanoke Electric.
We okay.
Same board, same everything else. And
okay.
So all the decisions and everything else are made by our senior management board and members.
Okay. All right.
And then, so, all right. So, Tanner, you get all this. I don't need it. And this is how we're going to do it. I think we're going to work collaboratively. I think to your question related to the East and West and the whole rest of it, what we've done, and I don't need to go up there, but what we've done is we've broken these into segments, sectors, you can call them, pick your name. As you can see, the bottom portion there, we believe, you know, we'll have that completed by the end of 22. And then the rest, you know, based on both economic and demographic, as well as density, we'll determine what the phase is and what the time frame of that is. I think what I'd like to do and what we hope to do is work with you all and what you believe might be the best kind of order in which to kind of to go along. So I really want, you know, our goal here is to work together, to be partners, to understand what you believe is the right thing to do and what your constituencies need and be able to accomplish it. Now, we're gonna probably have some discussions where, hey, for us, the cost here and the cost there, and we may have to switch it around, but it's a discussion. It's a dialogue. It's not a, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. Yes, sir.
This great grant is a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yep. Yep.
So, first question is, you know, we're listening at other
potential yep.
providers too. So, I want to understand what makes what you're offering perhaps a better solution than others. And the second question is, I understand that other counties, even neighboring counties, are looking at this too.
Yep.
Looking at you. So do you have the capacity, not only just what you're doing here, but if you're going to take on some of the other neighboring counties in San Francisco?
No. No. We've absolutely got the capacity. We're working with, I mean, for instance, in Martin County, working closely.
You guys don't have any presence there now.
Right, but we're going to be able. Yep, I mean that's kind of, but that's what I mean by working together on these the schedule, right? We've got this kind of segmentation. You can see up there at the top right. I've got Hertford, right? We've got, so this is for the entire six, what we call the six counties, so five we serve plus Martin.
You've taken that. You were to win every one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Still could deliver this expectation.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So again, so I understand that the wired piece is solid because that's what we've always needed.
Yep.
What else makes what you're offering distinct from perhaps other?
Well, I can tell you, I can, and I don't need to name them. I mean, one of, so there are two or three. That's just mature. Fine. You've got cable MSOs, cable operators. Cable operators, if they do deliver it, they'll use something called RFOG. RFOG is RF over glass. It's very eloquent, right? And RF over glass, the reason they're doing that is they're leveraging their existing network infrastructure. Cable modems use DOCSIS. It's a standard, right? So DOCSIS, and that's all the way through the network. So that communicates with routers and everything all the way through provisioning, all that stuff. Well, for them to do this cost effectively, even with what they've realized, what they've been able to win on the RDOF side, and even those that have not, they're going to use RFOG because it's still it's fiber, but it's no different than your cable modem. So there is there's no symmetrical, it's asymmetrical. It is exactly, I mean, there really is, other than maybe higher download, you're still going to be asymmetrical. Right, you'll be at a, let's just say a gig down, 500 up, or whatever it looks like. And for them to meet the goals, that the future proofing that we'll have at XGS-PON, they'd have to rip out their entire network. I'm telling you that now. The other opportunity I think that You've got it. I know Apollo. So Apollo is a big investor in Charter. They also happen to buy all the assets of what was it? Lumen. But before that, it was, I forget the name of the thing. I always forget the name. But the telco, the little F, right? They bought the copper assets, and they formed a company called Bright. I think Bright Speed in Charlotte. I know the guys. Very good guys. Very capable guys. Very good company. Very smart, all from Verizon. The only way in which they'll be able to deliver this is, again, that you can't leverage copper. They might be able to leverage their facilities, right? If they've got hubs, but they're gonna have to rebuild that whole network, and the cost for them to do that, they have shareholders and they have investors. So they're gonna ensure that it makes financial sense for them, right? For us, we need to, our goal is to make sure that we're fiscally responsible. But the goal is to deliver these services to the community. The reason that Curtis didn't want to do this five X years ago. He really tried to get somebody else to come in.
We were at the meeting in Indian Woods when they came to it and presented it. And then right. The deal kind of fell apart.
Right. He really, really tried. But his whole goal, he knew these communities needed this service. It was paramount. It was critical. And so when everybody fell away, he stepped out. Right. And he did the best he could with what he had and the knowledge he got. And he tried to, to get it done. And the reality is Marshall and Kathy and Angela, who's on the call, and myself and the whole team, we're here to kind of continue that and to do it right. Right. And that really is the message, is that my personal and the reason I'm here. Right. I live right over the water in Edenton. Right. Is to be able to deliver this the service these people deserve, right? At a cost that they can afford, right? And do it as fast as we can.
All right. So it's 2025.
Yes, sir, ma'am.
I live in Coleraine, yep. And you're now offering the service, yes, to us. So my current, which I will keep that to myself, my current provider, when my service goes out, it's at least a week or a week and a half later before I can get somebody out. So I'm without internet service, yeah, for that long.
Yeah.
My TV program off. Yeah, I'm TV, internet, the whole nine yards. So what are y'all going to do different? Are you going to have a truck there?
24 hours. You'll be done. If I don't get you up and back in 24 hours, it's because there's something seriously wrong. Like if there's some major act of God, right? We got an ice storm coming in. It's an ice storm. There's a hurricane. It's a hurricane. But if it's like some pole went down or something else went wrong, you should be up within. I mean, the goal, just so you know, it's a 4-hour window. From 4 hours, it goes, it escalates. After 8 hours, it escalates again. And then if it's 12 hours, Marshall and everybody else in the whole world knows. And so we're going to get this thing. I mean, this is a business. This is, you're our customers.
Like, a week and a half is ridiculous.
Right, yeah. All right. It's a week. It's all right. We'll get right there. Friday?
Yeah.
Sometime? Like, no, that's not. It's just not how you do things. You deserve to be respected. And that's just absurd.
And so in some cases, I can call into my provider,
yep,
and they can do something, whatever they do behind the scenes and get it going right then. Do y'all have that capability?
Yeah. I think one of the things I think everyone should be cognizant of is that whether it's DSL, so it's DSLAMs, which is what you're going to get if you're using Lumen or whatever the name, whatever, or HFC, which is your MSOs, the two things you're going to get, you won't have the issues that you do with those technologies that you would with fiber. In the instance for cable, 85 to 90% of all your problems are from the tap, which is where it leaves the network to your house, period. Doesn't matter. If anybody has cable and anybody says it's something, that's what it is. Tell them to replace it. If it's DSL, it's 9 times on it's distance. You're too far. DSL is very, and DSL by nature is not necessarily very reliable. It just goes out. It's just DSL. It's about 20 years old. And they haven't done anything. With fiber, once you put that in, unless someone gets a backhoe and digs that thing up, or a truck runs into one of the poles and it all falls down, it's tough. I mean, it just doesn't go down. If it does go down, we'll be out there and have that fixed that day. unless something catastrophic.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Because all in the end, the common person like me, that's not you, that don't know all the ins and outs of
you just want it fixed.
It's we just want it fixed. I just want to be able to watch TV and get on the internet. Yeah.
The last thing I should know is that if you were awarded, obviously, you know, 13 might just be considered a we're paying for it. We would hope that there would be some focus, not only training, but hiring locals.
Yes.
So they can get involved in this, whether they're subs or whether they're employees or whatever. We want to put the people in this county to work.
Yes.
If we're spending their money.
And to that point, a couple of things that we've talked through internally, and one of the things that we'd like to be able to accomplish, I think, through partnership or either our own, is not only the ability to add, you know, jobs and create jobs and labor, you know, but also there is a significant opportunity for training in the vocational for this kind of business. And I know that you all, this board would be like, I'm crazy. But splicing, fiber splicing, right? It's a skill set, right? You train and you learn how to do it. Similar to the alignment on an electrical power. But splicing is finding those resources, very, very difficult. Very difficult. A good splicer, right, is worth his or her weight in gold. What we're trying to do, what we'd like to be able to accomplish, is create some sort of program that we can create our own funnel, but it's local.
But I'll give what I'd like to do. Community College at Martin.
Yeah.
And you guys are one of the sponsors of our line program.
Yep.
And every person who is accepted in that program has a job offer or multiple job offers by the time they get halfway through it.
And that's where this came from. It's exactly
right.
That's exactly what we're talking about. And that's honestly, that's where the internal discussions, that's where it came from. Was, you know, we do this. We can do the same thing for this. What other things can we do? So it's the same mindset. I mean, that's kind of what I mean by working together, finding out what's best and really keeping it. I mean, I live here, we all live. I mean, we got to make it. It's for the people here, and however we can. It's not just getting connectivity. It's everything else that comes with that. And how can we take full advantage of that opportunity? And that means jobs, but that also means healthcare and telemedicine and, you know, all these things, you know, working with NC State to see if we can come up with a really good ag solution that will provide, you know, the IoT at the end of all these farms. What can we do for them and how we work together? So it's really a big collaboration that we're going to try to accomplish, but working with y'all and the people who live here.
One more question. You may have answered it in the very beginning because I can't remember whether I asked it or not, but how many miles have you put in so far?
Over 300.
Over 300 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I will say the people on my Facebook, love it.
Oh, well,
they love your program. Yeah,
well, and that's our goal. And I, you know, I think that, but that's also why we've got to hurry.
Yeah.
Because I think our, you know, the strategy that we've got in place today and what we're going to be able to accomplish with the goal of 2025 is much different and much more advanced than what we've done previously. I mean, we've really kind of put a focus on this. I think the team at Roanoke is truly 100%, 110% behind us. And as you all know, more than I do, actually, we're committed to the communities that we serve. You know, we really, really, and I can, for myself personally, it is the reason I'm here. I spent enough time trying to tell you all why we couldn't come. Right. Whether I liked it or not. So I think it's a welcome. I mean, I'm really, really happy to be able to say how we can come. So,
any other questions?
I have one.
Yes, sir.
What are your expectations for the candidate when it comes to that?
I think that, and Kathy, if you're on, you might chime in. But I think we're looking, you know, 40 to 50%. If that's feasible, we can go lower than that. But I mean, I think that as much as again. As much as is possible, we don't have, our goal is to do this, period. The more matching and the more opportunities for funds that we've got may increase or at least push the schedule, tighten the schedule up versus expanding it. I don't know, Kathy, are you able to talk to that? Did you hear that question?
I did. And one of the things when we look at the great grant application, there's a tier up to 50% match for the great grants. And it's all based on the partnership as well as the scoring for our application. And while we'd love 100% funding for our entire project, that's just not a possibility under the great grant and other funding opportunities to us. So we're looking at 20, 40, sometimes 50% match based on that scoring.
Yeah. And I think that one of the keys to remember is that part of this is the ability for county, the control y'all have is related to the partnership that we have. And compensation related partnership in terms of funds as well. So it's in everyone's interest, regardless of the amount, because we're going to do it. I think that the ability for the county to provide some direction, right, as part of this is to ensure that there's funding available and that we have a true partnership where dollars are involved.
Yeah. I think I kind of get it a little bit. Are you saying that if you're looking at 4 or 5 counties, you guys can work? As a service, can
no. More speed? No. No. I think that what I mean is that the opportunity to have additional funds will allow us on whole to be able to do this at a much faster pace.
The way I understood you say it was your intentions. And Reno Connect's intentions and Reno Collector's intentions, yeah. Correct? Because you are speaking for them also, correct? Yes. That by 2025,
yeah.
Bertie County should be,
yeah.
Should be,
yeah.
Set.
Agreed. And just so you know, to that point, as often as you all would like an update as we begin this process, we've put platforms and systems in place that I can almost give you daily. I don't think anyone wants that, but I have. You know, again, from a schedule on here's where we're going, here's where we're at, like that bottom portion down there that we're going to have done by the end of the year. I'll probably start sending you all get some emails with a picture of here's where we're at, here's the status.
Right.
And if things go, just so you know, I'm fairly direct. So if things go wrong, you'll know it.
Well, one thing is, I mean, we had the meeting in Indian Woods referenced the broadband. That was mm-hmm. probably, correct me if I'm wrong, about 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, we were never brought up to speed that all of a sudden this had stopped
right
until about 3 years ago, I think, wasn't it?
Right,
right in that area. Okay,
yeah.
So and then they have regrouped and done something different here. You know, it'd be nice to have an update probably every quarter, three or four months. Okay, every 3 or 4 months, you come or you can send it to the county manager.
I'm right across the road. I'm up right here.
I understand. Suits me. I'm at. And that way there, we got the comfort zone going. And
just to give you an example, I mean, I used to, you know, when I was previous life, I had 36 divisions across from Hawaii to Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't communicate, it was a problem. So you may not like the answer, but mm-hmm. I'm going to guarantee you, I'll always give you an answer.
Gotcha.
All right.
I think the real difference here, the citizens need to know this, is why we have not been able to do this in the past primarily is because the funds were not available.
Right.
But the great grant is significant because this yep. is the money that comes in from the new AARP dollars
yep.
through the state. Mm-hmm. And we got direct piece ourselves, all counties and many municipalities did, but this is part of the state piece
yep.
that they're rolling out to us. And it couldn't be put to a better use, I don't think.
This is
something we've got to have if we're going to grow and going to be successful here. So
yep.
that's the difference.
Let me back up a couple of steps. You made a comment about matching the grant,
mm-hmm.
correct? And you said you thought it was around 50%, something of that nature.
Right. So I think our goal is anywhere. I mean, listen, and Kathy, you please step on my neck if I go awry mm-hmm. here. Smarter than I am anyway. But I think anywhere from 20 to 50% is the goal.
Somewhere right in the range.
Yeah.
And what do you think total grant would be?
Kathy, what do you think the grant would be in total for
per T? Do you have any idea?
It would be $8 million because we'll be submitting two proposed funding service areas, and we are going to apply for the max of $8 million.
And so our match would be somewhere around $4 million then, somewhat.
It could be, but we will know the beginning of next week what the breakdown will be based on the scoring that's within the application. And we obviously can let you know exactly what that amount would be.
That would be nice to have that information before we make any real decisions on this and see what direction. I mean, I like the fact that you've already put 300 miles on the ground already. I like that we're dealing with our co-op already. These are things I do like. But again, it all comes down to dollars and cents also. Yep. And I think that's very important for this board and also important for the county to have a true understanding of that as far as that direction. Because let's face it, money talks, and that's what the deal is.
Absolutely.
And obviously, if we can offset the match with something else somehow, it'd be something you want to take back and think about.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's absolutely. But I can
for a county like Bertie, that's steep. That's
oh
steep.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that we could also look at is long-term agreements for service as a part of the offset for the match.
I mean, it's part of this, to Kathy's point, it's part of delivering services to the municipal and county facilities,
mm-hmm.
right? That may be a source of funding in and of itself.
I also see it as also to the service to our community. I mean, I kind of look at this in a twofold way. I look at this, number one, this is a service you can provide to make money off of, and you should, okay? Profit is not a bad word in a company, okay? And you should, because you got to keep it operational.
Yep.
But I also think that under the same circumstances, some of that profit could be weighed back and put towards the situation of a matching grant, something of that nature, where we do partner in some way to do this. Mm-hmm. And I think that is due to a conversation, not today, but when we get to that point, I think we need to have that conversation, I think, and putting that food for thought to you and to the young lady you've been talking to, Kathy, I believe her name, it's something that you need to talk about and discuss and throw it back into corporate.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reality is that our goal and our opportunity here is to do this regardless, right? I think that it's more of a time frame perspective and our ability to execute. Profit-wise, I think that the goal that we have is to pay for the debt.
Mm-hmm.
We do not, as I've said earlier, we don't have stockholders or shareholders. That's not who we report to. But we do have member owners, and we're an organization company. So we do have to remain constant.
And again, with it being a co-op, basically you do. And that's everybody in the counties that use Roanoke Electric. We are the stockholders.
Exactly.
And we are the
right.
the pinch.
The last stop. Right.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
I meant, I think this is something that needs to be talked out further.
Yeah.
And importantly, as we look at a partnership, even with the response to the letter and the request, having a response also adds, even without a dollar amount, just that we have a partnership with the county, identifies additional scoring points on our application, which lowers the match requirement and increases the grant amount.
All right. Well, I think that
up to that $8 million cap.
Yeah. I think I've put out there my feelings on this as far as, and I'm impressed, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I'm also, it needs further discussion. I mean, when it comes down to matches and things of that nature, because some things can be put out of touch, out of hands, as far as what we can reach and what we can't reach.
Right.
And I think that's something that needs to have serious discussion. Maybe you need to take that back to your board and discuss it with them and discuss it with also Mr. Cherry, people of that nature. And we'll go in that direction in the next conversation.
Of course, sir.
We have some important, business partners here in this community too, yes, whether that's Purdue, whether that's a state prison, whether that's the number of municipalities that we have, which are obviously a little bit better position than the typical kind of user. And this is a low wealth community. So, being able to, whether that's the school systems or all of those, and that's, that he uses.
That's exactly right. And I think that's, I think that what Kathy had said earlier, I think that's part of the point, is that I think working together to be able to deliver these services and find funding where it might be available, it could be Purdue, it could be the prison system, it could be, right? It's just ensuring that you've got a revenue stream able to support the debt service.
And it goes back to everybody's got a piece of pie and who the partner is going to be with.
Right.
And that's the main thing, who the partner is going to be with. Are you going to be making these type of presentations to these large companies also?
I will.
Okay. Because I think that's vital. Okay, to what direction we go in as a board, yeah. And getting feedback from you, from your conversations with them.
Yeah.
And
I can say with certainty that there's not another organization that is going to be able or is dedicated to be able to serve every member of your constituency. I know that for a fact, because I know them. There it is. That's without our current investment. So if we hadn't built anything, that's what it would cost. So you've got a total of $42 million, right? Well, we've got an 80%. Right? And then with it, with what we've already spent, and these are, right, preliminary, but pretty good, $35 million.
I think for me, it's all about the money and that match, but it's also about delivery after the fact. After all the fiber is laid, I want you there in that 24 hours and not a week and a half later.
Well, and that's why it's going to be, you know, not to belabor it, but we live here.
Yeah.
I mean, in essence, if you had to, you could come see you'd come to me and say, I'm gonna come, and I had to get in my car and I'd have to fix it. Right? I mean, you'd be like, let's go. You gotta go. I'm gonna go. So, I mean, that's important.
Yeah. My question is this, by being a partner, at this point in time, we're not really obligated in the match anyway, are we?
No. No, the only time that there's a match, and it's not the county obligation.
As a match of any nature at this point in time, they need that for the application, though, so that they can send it. And the more partners they have, the less match we will have anyway.
Correct.
When that time comes.
That's exactly right.
And to that, also, that's the reason I was wondering if he was going to be meeting with these large companies and finding these things out for us and getting information back to us so we can move in that direction.
Kathy's trying to say something, I think. Kathy?
I was just going to confirm what was being said. There's no obligation until the grant is awarded. And obviously, we'd like to work with the county and the businesses and organizations and stakeholders within Bertie County. But there's no obligation for a match as we submit the application into the state broadband office.
Any other questions? That's it. All right. We appreciate you coming.
Thank you,
Bo. And Mr.
Chairman,
yes, ma'am.
I would like to ask you a quick question. Is there a timeline, that you need or Kathy, y'all need this to be decided? Because I know the grant is supposed to
be responsible. I mean, we've got April 4th. We've got to have
March, April. We meet before then.
Wow.
Okay. And by April 4th, a commitment from somebody as far as who's going to get the grant, and hypothetically, let's say, and I can't say that you aren't, whatever, but if it is, and then how do we know what the.
Well, I can tell you, right? We've got 80%, right?
Yeah.
We're going to commit to that. We've committed to it.
Okay.
So I think that, as I said earlier, anything, if there's a matching, anything over that, I think that'd be beneficial. But I think we need to work together and work with the businesses and work with communities and see what we can do. I mean, I think we're all in this together.
I agree with that part. I mean, yeah. I think we're all partnering together trying to make this happen. But there's other partners out there we need to loop into the circle.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave that.
And just so you know, if you have some good contacts or you want, you know, that we might not have, because I'm sure you all know much better than I would ever know.
Yep.
I'd welcome it.
Okay.
I mean, really.
All right, then I think we need to sit down and do something like that.
Yeah,
and go from there.
Let me know.
Okay. Any other questions from anyone? There's no other questions. Bo, I appreciate you showing up.
Thank you, sir. Anytime.
Good information.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Y'all take care.
All right, you too.
Okay. Next on the agenda is going to be a request to partner with Bertie County pursuant North Carolina Great Grant for broadband services, Lumen, Mr. Ted Hankins. Is Mr. Hankins on the line?
That's your friend.
Okay.
Well, was he coming person or was he coming
via? My understanding is going virtually.
Virtually. So. Is LaShonda here?
I'm not seeing him at this moment.
What did she say?
She didn't see him. Can we take a
break while?
Yeah, we can take a 4 minute, 5 minute break. I'm sorry. LaShonda, if Lumen comes on, Ted Hankins, let us know so we can go back to him, please.
Yes, Church.
Thank you. All right, next thing is ABC Board Audit Update by Wade Green, CPA.
I'm sure he's not here.
Again, Mr. Green is not on just yet, but I will take a moment to board if I can pretty much set the stage for his conversation when he does join. The first handout in your packet on the right-hand side is page 15 from the 2020 audit, which is the page that you all were looking at the last time that Mr. Freeman was before you and the board had a concern about the profit or the amount that Bertie County was receiving. I believe Commissioner Wesson mentioned, you know, looking at fiscal years 20 and 19, as you see on page 15, if the income from operations was, you know, so much higher, the question was, why is the profit distributions, which I've highlighted for you, why is it lower than it was in 2019? So Mr. Green will address that, but if you'll take a look at the next page, which is also page 15, but that's from the 2021 audit. And if you'll take a look at the 20 column, he adjusted that $15,000 figure to include the $12,000. So it took it up to 27, which is what I believe the concern was. So that correction has been made, but again, Mr. Green will address that. I just wanted you to know exactly what you have here in your folder.
And but that was the first year that Mr. Green has done the audit for the ABC board, correct?
I'm not certain.
Well,
Okay.
But the profit distributions are the same. How is that? Am I looking at that correctly?
No. Let's see. Let me take a look at it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I got it. I see now.
Good.
I got it. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Good.
So, again, Mr. Hankins will be joining momentarily. He was having some difficulties joining the meeting. But again, so that you're aware, when Mr. Green starts speaking, this is what he'll be speaking from. And also, other housekeeping while we're waiting, when we get to the 1245 topic for the community room in the library, also in your packet, the next page you'll see is the rules for Bertie County Senior Center use policies that was discussed back when we were talking about the rules for the community center. Also, the third handout on your right hand side is we received this request from Keith Lee, the chief of the Perrytown Fire Department, someone who was on their relief board for Perrytown Fire Department passed, and he is requesting that the commissioners appoint a new member, and that person's name is Mr. Rodney Wayne Lee.
Bud.
Oh, okay.
Everybody knows him as Bud.
Okay, so at some point, whether now or later, if the board agrees to do so, we'll just need a motion for that appointment.
You want to take care of that now?
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we approve for the appointment of Mr. Rodney Wayne Bud Lee to the relief board.
Yeah. Second. Okay, we have a first and a proper second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
And that's all I have at this time. Chairman, I believe Mr. Hankins from Lumen is on the line now.
Okay. Mr. Hankins, could you hear us?
Yes, I can. I'm sorry for the confusion this morning. I would have been here earlier if I would have realized we had a Zoom link versus a Teams meeting. So apologies for that.
Okay. All right. Well, won't you tell us a little bit about your company and what you're doing?
Absolutely. CenturyTel Lumen is in the process of selling its North Carolina assets and assets in 19 other states to a company called Apollo Global Management, which is setting up a company called Brightspeed to operate those assets. And that transaction should be completed by August 1st or sometime in August. The benefit or the good thing about that is that North Carolina will be the headquarters for the new company. And Brightspeed has publicly announced that they are going to be spending an additional $2 billion in those 20 states to add fiber to the home, which North Carolina will be one of the larger participants or recipients of. As far as the GREAT grant goes, we've started several months ago looking at potential projects in North Carolina using Form 477 data and the North Carolina speed survey data that was obtained. And of course, ineligible areas include the RDOF area, any tier three non-rural tracts, and any other federal broadband grants that had been awarded in the area and any previous grant, great grant awards. And the maximum funding for any one particular application is $4 million. And those applications are due on April 4th. So we're coming up, we're in the process of finalizing all of the county approvals and pulling the applications together. And we did identify one project build, and I can share my screen with you to show you kind of where that is. It's a $6.3 million project. The cost per premise is around, is over $4,000, which is a little higher than the what the program would call for getting maximum points. It includes 1,459 locations and over 89 miles of fiber deployment. We do think that this application would allow us to get $4 million in state grant funding and a contribution from the county using ARPA funds of $500,000. And Brightspeed would include $1.8 million toward the project. But I can kind of, and in addition to that, Brightspeed has identified about 1,000 units, living units or areas in the county that they have already planned builds for, which is, as you can imagine, probably the downtown area. You know, I see, how do I share my screen with you guys?
LaShonda, did you give Mr. Hankins permission to share a screen?
Yes, it's set to share.
Let's see. Share screen. Guess I push the right button, I can figure it out, huh? Can you see my screen now or not?
Not yet.
Can you try it again?
Yes.
Okay, we can see it now.
Okay. So in this area is where the 1,000 units of the plan build that Brightspeed plans to build over 5 years. If the grant is awarded, they would accelerate that five-year build to a two-year build to concur with the grant project, which you can see is highlighted in the blue lines. And that's the 89 miles of additional fiber and the 1,400 locations that would be included in the application.
Mr. Hankins, if you're able to put your presentation in the presentation mode, it would make it bigger and easier for us to see.
Yeah. Does that help?
Yes, sir. It helps a lot. Thank you.
Sorry about that. Again, the dark blue is the plan build, and the lighter blue is the great grant project area. And the benefit of using ARPA funding, you get 1 point for the county participating. You get an additional 2 points if the county uses its ARPA funding. And
question for you.
Yes.
Are you ready for questions?
Sure.
That's $6.3 million total, correct?
Yes.
Help me understand how many people you're going to be contacting that will be able to hook up on that $6.3 million.
Planned build is 1,459.
All right, so 1,459 residents, correct?
Residents and businesses, yes.
And that's for Bertie County, correct?
Correct.
And what is the plan? How long would it take you to do for 1,459 houses as far as
it's a 2 year build out from the time the grant is awarded?
So by the time the grant is awarded, you're talking 2024, maybe 2025, somewhere right there?
See, the grants should be awarded sometime later this year in 22. So they should be completed in middle to late 24.
Okay. All right. When is the, if the grant's awarded, depending on what this board decides they want to do, when is the matching funds going to be required by a county towards this grant, whoever may get it?
It's once the project is completed.
Once the project is completed is when the matching fund has to come in?
Correct.
Okay.
Sir, that's only a small portion of our county. Is there any plans to build out further?
Well, what we did is we excluded any RDOF areas or any ineligible locations based on the grant program. So I would have to go back in and see exactly if there are RDOF areas in the county that are excluded to be able to answer that for you. What we tried to do was exclude all the ineligible areas and put together a project that would cover the most living units based on qualified parameters.
What makes an area unqualified?
It's unqualified if it has speeds greater than 25.3 or has awards, RDOF awards or other USDA awards or previous grant, great grant awards.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have any other questions? Mr. Biggs, you have any questions?
I don't have any questions. I've just got a comment. In the area that is shown,
you know, most of the areas, the dark blue looks to me like it's around Windsor. And I had this conversation with this gentleman the other day when we met with, that area, the dark blue is covered pretty well.
Right.
And I think what I heard from each one of the commissioners that I've talked to over time is that your main focus has been covering more area, not just covering the same area.
And getting to West Bertie County.
Right. All the way from Woodard to Lewiston. So that was one of my main concerns was, you know, how much of an area was going to be covered.
Right.
I would say that the dark blue area probably is ineligible because it's what my understanding is Brightspeed is overbuilding the DSL copper network with a fiber to the home network in that dark blue area.
Anybody else have any other questions?
I have a comment.
Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Haynes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ron Robertson. If I'm a commission for the whole county here, and if I'm interested in your business, then I'm interested in the whole county getting service, not one particular area. It has to cover everybody and the whole county, not one precinct or one township.
I concur. You have a response?
My response would be that we identified all the eligible areas in the county to put this proposal together.
But we're not sure what eligible really means. What does that mean?
Well, if this part of the county is already covered by RDOF or has speeds greater than 25.3, they're not eligible.
Can you explain to the board exactly what RDOF is?
That stands for Rural Digital Opportunity Fund. It's a federal program to bring high-speed internet to unserved areas.
Okay.
And if these areas are truly unserved or underserved, they would be of, we would look to expand these blue lines up into this area in the next round of grants.
Mr. Biggs, when you say underserved or served, is that at the FCC's rating today or the rating when the service was put in?
It's based on the grant great grant parameters, which is 25.3.
When we met with Steve Brewer toward the end of last week, Mr. Hankins, he showed us a map of had the little dots on with areas that were served versus areas that were not. That may be helpful. Do you have access to that right now?
I don't think I do have access to that.
Okay.
Any other questions, gentlemen? Okay. Ladies also, any other questions? I'm sorry. All right. Thank you, Mr. Hankins.
Thank you. I appreciate your time today and look forward to hearing back from you guys.
Okay. All right. Is Wade Green around? Okay. Mr. Green.
One moment, Chair Trent. I'm trying to get him to unmute.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh.
So I'm online, I guess.
There's some background. More extra. Are you retired?
Yes.
You say you can't hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Mr. Green, but we can hear the background also.
Okay. Well, I'm here. I guess you ready for me?
Yes, I am. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. You have background noise in the background. Can you?
What can I? I got my doors closed. Shouldn't have none, I don't think.
Okay. Let's proceed forward then.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm calling about Burdick County ABC. I guess you were questioning why the revenues on the income statement really didn't match the distributions payable on the balance sheet. Does the board have the June 2021 audit?
Yes.
Well, if you have that, if you'll just flip over to page 15 in the audit report.
Yes, sir, Mr. Green. They have pages 15 in out of each audit, the 20 and the 21.
Okay, but the 21, okay. If you look at on page 15, the 20, you'll notice the Burdick County 95%, $27,691. That's the current distribution payable for June 30, 20. And below it, you'll see the Burdick County refunds, that $12,003. That is the amount from June 30, 1999, that was that the board forgave. That's the amount the year before the board forgave for Burdick County. And I just had to put that amount somewhere, the amount the county forgave. As you can see, it netted with the 27,691 and got the 15,688. But the board still owed the county the $27,691.
Gotcha. Okay.
I mean, I hope that makes sense the way I've shown it.
It does. Any questions? Anybody have any questions? All right. We haven't got any questions, so we're going to move forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. I think we're after shuffling things around, moving on down to the update on the animal shelter project, Ms. Scarborough?
I do have one question. Never mind. Sorry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we received two submissions for the RFQ, which basically we're asking them for qualifications for an engineering architectural firm to help us design and develop the animal shelter. And then once we've selected that and gotten the design from them, then they will work with us. This firm will work with us to help us to develop an RFP for the construction portion of the project. And they will manage the project. They will not be responsible for building it, but they will be managing the construction part of it. We received two submissions. We reviewed the submissions last Wednesday. The review committee was our economic development director, the county manager, the chief deputy sheriff, and two animal control officers, the building supervisor, and myself. And this Wednesday from 1 to 5, we're going to be bringing both firms here and interviewing them just to get more questions answered. And then after that, the plan is for the selection of the firm to be done no later than March 31st so that we can bring a contract to you on April, the meeting on April the 4th in order to approve the moving forward with this firm. That's the update.
Okay.
Questions?
Do we have any approximate square foot prices what this could come in?
This is not the time where they do that. This is their they're presenting qualifications that would make them the best person to help us to design the shelter. And then once we select them with the quotes that they give us for their cost to help design it and build it, not build it, to design it, then they will come back with cost associated with the project. And right, that's when we'd know that we'd have that piece.
Excuse me. So the state gave us a county, and I can't remember which county it was, said, you know, y'all could build one like this county. Why can we not skip all this?
Because it's over $150,000, okay. And anything that we have to do the bidding process and the construction process now, right?
But can we not use their plans?
But the intent is when we speak to them this week to share with them those plans and identify this is how we want the thing built, and then for them, but also for these firms will come in and do an assessment of what we want and how we want to see this over the next 10, 15 years. And they will try and design something that will meet our needs now, but also we're hoping, and both of them identified this, to help project what you could need in the future to make it in such a way that we might could build onto it in the future or things like that. So.
Do you have an approximate cost to these architectural firms?
We'll have a better feel for that after Wednesday, but it's usually a base price. I think one of them was a quote of like a base price of $4,000 plus a certain amount per square foot for the design process. I don't have that number right now, but
it just seemed to me, while it sounds reasonable, but it just seemed to me if it's something we're spending a lot of money on, maybe overthinking it a little bit. Like misleading me, if we get some plans to go by somewhere else and get bids on it.
No need to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah. Well, we're not necessarily reinventing the wheel, but we because of the cost of the project, even if it's anything over $150,000, we have to have three bidders, or at least have tried for three bidders.
That is true, but it doesn't, my understanding at least, it doesn't require us to go through this methodology with a company who can do the management piece. The requirement is around the construction of the building. So if we took to Commissioner Lisa and said we knew what we wanted to build, could we not go directly to builders and ask for their quote on building what
plan already exists and not have to do the other.
Well, in a discussion I had with the sheriff's office and the animal control office, the design that we have from Terrell County is smaller than what they want. And so in order to design something in a bigger thing, this is my understanding, this is the process we need to go through.
Terrell County may not be the answer. There may be one somewhere else.
I'm sorry?
I said Terrell County may not be the answer.
Is that the one the state said?
Yes.
Would be adequate. The
inspector from the state just suggested that we may want to take a look at. I'm sure the others are right.
Yeah.
David, well, they did take a look. They went and looked at it, and they liked that floor plan. I have a copy of the floor plan. We're going to be sharing that with this firm, and the intent is to reduce the cost of these firms by providing basically a plan and asking them to advance on it somewhat.
You know, I admit it's a lot easier to have a firm like this who handles all of the process for us, right? But then we still have to get a builder. You'll have to choose a builder. So most builders today, you know, if you have some existing idea, especially a plan, are able to scale up to meet what are the specs that we're asking for as a part of their work. I mean, any sizable builder can do that for you from existing plans, right? And you say, yeah, but we need this, and we need this, and we need this. Let them incur that price as part of their build. You know, we have limited funds, so we really need to find a way, you know, to put more into the actual build and less into, quote, the management and prep for that build. I mean, does it make it easier, like we did for the library? Yeah, but do we have those kind of funds to do that?
And to his point also is that I'd suggest that contacting as-built companies that do this for you that would obviously save money in the long run. And this is not grant money we're dealing with. This is taxpayers' money.
The library, for instance, is much more complicated. That was a grant money. Structures
than this animal shelter. We were creating something brand new that we wanted different.
That's right.
When we bring this to you for your approval in April, if you believe that there's a different way to go towards it, then that's all you have to say. And, you know, we'll do it that way. This, again, I'm speaking from my experience, this has always been the process that we've gone through with any type of construction process is, I mean, I think at one point we talked about doing a design build, but after some further research, we determined we couldn't do that based on certain qualifications that we didn't have to do a design build. So we went back out and we put the RFQ out for this to help us design the building. We indicated in the RFQ that we had plans that we wanted them to be, you know, to be considered for this. Our intent is to help reduce the time and the cost of that, but yet make it to be something that our animal control officers and sheriff's department are happy with for the future. The difference between the Terrell one and what we're looking at, Terrell doesn't have walls; it's caged on both sides.
And the 4,000. Doesn't scare me because it's probably worth that. But then I heard you say there's an additional cost per square footage. Do we know what that is?
And again, I'm trying to get, when we meet with them this week, we'll be able to get more of that information.
Okay. And that's what it's been. So, and to that point, that's why I asked the question, the approximate square foot price.
So we'll know. I hear what you're saying. From this process, we'll know whether or not it's worth that investment to do it that way, right?
Right.
But I understand, right? But if we feel like we don't really have that to put into it, we could take the same amount of money and look at another way of putting it directly into the bill ourselves. And, you know, by working through companies who can do it. That's nothing that keeps us from being able to do that, right? Nothing legally, state statute, that keeps us from being able to say, no, we want to choose a company, a bill company. This is a plan where we're going to expect them to
help us with the build out of from this plan to something that would include more.
To the best of my knowledge, yes, we can do that. I would have to follow up. I've been using some help from other counties and from some of my previous communications to help to resolve this. And again, like I said, this is the way that I've been used to and that we followed through with it. Even if we were to do a as-built, we'd still have to have an RFP out there because it would be, and so that would be one of the things that we were going to talk to the both of these firms when we talked to them on Wednesday to find out if, you know, if they could look at this design, they can bring back two options, either, you know, do an RFP for an as-built or doing it for construction costs.
I wasn't on the board when we built the EM building. What was the process used there?
I'm sorry.
I guess I was asking other commissioners because you weren't here either. Neither one of us. I wasn't on the board when we built the emergency services building. What was the process used there? Do we have?
Anthony went out, contacted contractors. We negotiated with the contractors individually, and they are the ones who gave us individual prices. For example, metal building company, which was Alexander Building, which is an as-built company. They came in, I think, if I'm not mistaken, about $80,000 cheaper than anybody else. And that included the metal building, that included the concrete slab. And then we got bids on electrical, got bids on the heating and air. It was all subcontracted out. And there was numerous bids.
I see that similar in complexity. I don't see it nearly as complex as, say, the library.
No, it wasn't. And as this isn't either.
Building.
And again, I mean, the library itself was grant money. They require you to go through a lot of steps as far as what they do, oversight from architects and things of that nature. As far as saving the county money, it could go either way. I meant individually bidding it out, licensed contractors for electrical, heating, and air. There's also the people that can put the buildings up also for us and work directly for the county and not going through the process. And it's all subcontracted out, separate contracts for each item. And that's where it goes from there to a final completion.
And I guess it's possible these consultants could save us more money than they're costing us. I don't know. I guess we'll maybe find that out.
Take a look.
We certainly want to follow the guidelines that are out there for counties to follow, government agencies, but yeah, we need to save every penny we can along the way.
I agree with that. But I mean, in all honesty, we have a construction person on the board, but we don't have anybody in Bertie County that has that experience or that has the qualifications to manage a project like that. And so this way, this is one of the things we looked at, is by doing it this way, we're having somebody design it, but also manage the construction process so that we're getting a quality product when we're done. That's my main thing. I don't know enough about contracting of any way, shape, or form in order to do it. And so
neither do I.
This is the process that, like I said, this is the process that seems the most logical to me. But once we come back to you with the proposal, if you're against it and you want to do something else, then we can move forward that way. But
right now, how much money do we have to allocate towards the project?
$300,000.
Okay.
And from every, I'll just go point blank tell you, from everybody I've talked to from beginning day one to now, $300,000 is not going to get you an animal shelter. That's perfectly, even if we were to do it ourselves, $300,000 is not going to build an animal shelter.
Well, the cost of materials.
Let me say this. I think you're right. I think that's why I'd love to be able to look at it to see what the cost is. And is it the better way? But give you an example. We're attempting to build the teacher housing project, right? That's over $3 million. But the only way we can afford to do that with the money we have, which is $3 million, is to take an existing plan from an existing builder that's approved by the lender, and the lender is going to manage the process, the management of it, so we don't have to engage in that. I understand, but that's their money. and they want to make sure that money is spent for that project, right? But that's the concept. If you, you know, if it's something smaller that we kind of, this is kind of what we want, but it needs these three, these bells and whistles. Most builders today will say, great, if I can get that project, I'll handle those few bells and whistles addition. But you're right, there still is a management piece to hold them accountable and as it walks through to make payment, the whole works. And if we can't handle that, William is a small shop. So I understand the value of that, right? But we got to know what it costs.
And right? That's the whole purpose of doing this.
Right.
I mean, we select one of the two contractors and then they talk to us about what we want and what we have. And they come up with the design and a cost estimate for that project. And then they will bring it to us. We don't do anything until they bring it to us and say, yes, we like this, or no, we don't like this. And then we'll have a better feel for what it is. Yeah. Now, I will say this, that our intent was to make the project a 2,800 square foot building. In looking at the Terrell plans, it's only 1,700 square feet. So, you know, if we want to make it like them, we can reduce that somewhat. There were some things that the sheriff's office and animal control identified as probably added on to it, a little bit bigger, closed in walls, obviously, and a space in the back and an office, because this one doesn't have any offices at all. And so things like that would be something that we would ask them to add into this plan that we already have and give us a price on that.
Well, we knew that when we did the budget this past year. I meant, we saw the Terrell, we knew what Terrell was, 17. I, matter of fact, I brought it up. Then when I saw the new square footage, it was up to 2,800. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was thinking to myself, as far as numbers, it was going to be very difficult to hit it going the way we were going. And it just wasn't going to work out square foot price. Yeah. So, not going the way we're going.
So Terrell, they don't have enclosed walls?
The very front entrance of it, where they have a lobby and a bathroom, is walled in, but the rest of it is, I've got pictures of it, the rest of it is the fencing.
It's not heated in
It's covered, and so it's covered on the roof, but then the walls are not. And as far as heating and stuff, yes, they do have heating and things like that.
Can you get a picture of the Terrell County's animal shelter and send it to all the county commissioners so they can see what you're talking about? Mm-hmm. And because I haven't even seen it, to be honest with you.
That's one of the things the state wants us to do, is have some heat and air.
For animals.
Yeah, they have it, right? But it's all under. It's going to be interesting how they have it. They have an open shelter, right? I mean, it has a roof, but it's open, but they still provide heat
and air. It's open at the ends, and I'm not quite sure I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
From the pictures I've seen, that's what it looks like. I mean, you want me to, I'll do a field trip out there and take a picture of it.
Okay.
I may have to stop on my way through one of these days.
Any more questions for Mr. Scarborough?
Thank you.
Great job.
Thank you, David. Sir.
Thank you.
Okay. We want to take a break for lunch, or we want to move on forward?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll point the special privileges, please.
I'm sorry?
Upon the special privileges, please.
Okay.
Where are we with the junior commissioners?
I can't answer that question. That'd be a question for the county manager.
That was a COVID.
Okay.
COVID made it stop, and we hadn't gotten back to it.
Yes, sir. Exactly. Commissioner Lee is exactly right. When COVID came, we kind of stopped, you know, because school stopped. But now that we're back going, school's back in session. If there's something that the board would like for us to get back, we can absolutely do that. But it just had not come up since everything got back to going.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Do we want to go to the next step? It's financial projections. Okay. All right. We'll go ahead and take a break for lunch. Okay. All right. We're going to recess for lunch. Thank you. On board here. All right. Next on the list is going to be Mr. William Robertson, finance officer.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'd like to start off by saying there's still 3 months left in this year. And what I'm getting ready to propose to you is a projection of what I think the year's going to end up as. Keep in mind, it's subject to change. But running out my numbers and looking at it, I'm anticipating revenue to come in around $30,611,000. I'm projecting expenses to come in around $30,610,000, which is almost a break even, which means we're not losing money, but we're not gaining any money. However, based on the ARP distribution that y'all done back about a year ago, there was about $600,000 that was earmarked as being moved to the ARPA funds to try to free up some county funds to do other projects with. Some of that has been worked on, some of it's still in the progress, which means there's going to be about $200,000 added to the bottom line for the county once these projects are complete, which is basically going to give me about a 1% increase on our fund balance. So putting that in with what we had from last year should give me roughly 7.72%. Also, with the receipt of money that came in after the close of last year, which is now in the bank, I'm projecting about a 9.18% fund balance at the end of this year for the general fund.
9.18?
Yes. This does not speak to ARP money that's coming, because I do not know how or what or why or when we can use it. Mr. Scarborough is actually scheduled to go to a summit next week, discuss not only ARP money, but I think the next day they're supposed to talk about the opioid settlement, which is another thing that I do not know how it's going to affect our numbers. But with that being said, this is truly just basically based on what I currently am dealing with at the moment.
William, I would say one other thing. You're talking about the second part of our direct grant
right.
money.
Yes.
But there's also the additional state monies. And I don't think that's going to come in. But the state got a direct portion of ARP, which is going to be available to municipalities and the counties up to, Robin, what was it, $950,000 per location? The thing we set in about the state money that's coming back by project from AAP, what's the name of the, that was,
yeah. Well, I'm not aware of that, so that's not included in my projections.
No, and I don't think it should be, because we don't know when we're going to get it, whatever. That was the state's portion of AARP money that would be put out based by grant. Yeah, I think the numbers, each location could be eligible for up to $950,000, but it's project-based. Right, as grants, but that's
and
almost
that
like
really
flow through. That's
that
like
really
flow
wouldn't
through.
Go to my bottom line.
Right. No, it doesn't. It just goes in, but until you spend it.
Right.
Right.
But this year basically is the allocation y'all done with ARP. You know, there were certain things that we considered eligible, certain things that were not, but we were going to try to get recoup for some of it so we could do other projects. But with all that said and done, I will add a little bit back. But bottom line is, I'm projecting about a 9.18. when we wrap the year up. And of course, this is 3 months. Hopefully it'll come in better, but this is what I project at the moment.
That's tremendous.
Yeah.
That's tremendous.
Now, I would like to move on to something else, and I will actually pass a handout on this, because this is just one page.
What we can do when we put our minds to it and got it.
Thank you.
The other question was asked to me about our water fund. And I ran the same scenario with that. And here's my projections. And basically, bottom line is, I'm looking at having $425,000 to the good. However, based on the way the auditors made adjustments at the end of year for the last 3 years, I'm anticipating them doing the same thing this year. So I'm going to net at least $275,000 positive. This is what I project at the moment. Any questions on that?
Just walk me through how you get that, Rim. I'm looking at the figures. I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. I don't see the columns. So it's down the bottom where it says the total 60 water districts, regional. Is that what we were looking
at? Yeah. Well, basically what it is, the columns are budgeted, revised budget and actual. Then the last column is my prorated based on the actual.
Gotcha.
In a lot of cases, it was like divided by 8, multiplied by 12.
Yeah. So you're looking at 97.87% of budgeted dollars.
Yes, of budgeted expenses. Of course, my revenue looks like it's going to come in about 114%, which most of that's coming in the sale of water. And we would expect it to come in above 100% because of the rate increases that we've implemented. So it just shows that that is having an effect on it.
Can we take some of that net and pay down on...
That stays in the water district.
No,
I mean, yeah, but we owe some water district money for.
You have payments scheduled in here.
But can we pay back?
I don't think at the moment you would want to because of the fact that the last couple of years you've kind of dipped into what it would consider fund balance. I think it's time to try to build that back up. Because I think last three years, it's been kind of negative. Hence the reason we talked about a rate increase. Right.
I had a question for you.
Yes, sir.
When we figured this, we figured a budget of $2.7 million, correct?
That sounds familiar.
It is. And you've got down total expenses right now are at 97.87%.
That's what I'm projecting, yes.
Okay. And that is as of when? As of what date? Now?
End of the year.
That's okay. What I predict end of the year to be. Yes.
Okay. So you're predicting we're going to spend 2.5, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? And believe me, I hope the 9.18 is low. I'm hoping it comes in higher, but at least we'll be above LGC.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson.
That's a fast turnaround from where we were.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody.
Yes,
and administration. Thank you. That's great work.
Okay. Next on the agenda is going to be use of community room and library and cooperative extension.
So, commissioners, in your packet, as I mentioned earlier, I have in here a handout, and it's front and back, and it gives you the Bercy County Senior Center use policies and the agreement for use of the center on the back. And again, that was provided because when we discussed the use of the community room at the Library and Cooperative Extension Facility, we kind of just use this just somewhat as a guide or just to be aware of what is allowed. However, the board was very specific about not following this exactly for that room. So what the decision was for the community room to be used for county departments or agencies, state department or agencies, schools, and the hospital, those type of agencies. Anything else, whether it was personal, you know, political parties, the board decided that we would not do that, okay? So it's come back up. I think at least one or more commissioners would like to discuss or reconsider the use of that.
All right, I'm opening the floor for discussion.
Thank you, Chairman. I asked, maybe others too, but I certainly asked one of the reconsideration of this. I was out for surgery when this came up before the board, was not at the meeting. Since that time, I have received a lot of questions from citizens about, we call this a community space. That's what we call it. That's why we got the funding for it, because they said a community space. But right now in this instruction, we aren't really truly allowing, quote, the community to use it. And I think that's a problem. I look at all the other community centers across the county, whether that's Windsor's, whether that's Orlando's or whatever. Community space, they make it available to citizens in the community, not just to the county. This is not just a county facility or state facility. This is a people's facility. They're the ones paying for it.
What's your suggestion, Mr. Wilson?
I'm suggesting that we open it up very similar to what we do at all the other community centers.
Okay.
The only thing we're excluding here is we say no parties. And that's a bad word to me. Parties, it should be perhaps no celebrations. I think we should allow.
whether that's graduation, whether that's birthday, whether that's wedding. The same thing that we all the other quote community centers in the county do. They put down a deposit. If there's any damage, they pay for it. Nobody's having any problem doing these things. We don't want alcohol and those kinds of things, as you say here. But opening it up to citizens for legitimate, you know, citizens' activities, groups, families, to me sounds reasonable.
Okay. Any opposing?
We can look at what the other places charge, Ron. I don't know. I mean, you know, senior centers, we charge. I mean, not $200. I think that's realistic to me. I mean,
I think it's fair.
I think it's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it is. Yeah.
Okay. Any opposing?
Yeah, somebody's got to be out there to.
Well, I tell you the way they do it at Windsor. This building was built so it has a lock off. So the only access you have is to this space. So in Windsor, they give you the key, you know, and you do it and you get come back and they feel you need to have some quote security, whatever, that's up to you to provide it. But it's locked off. You can't get into the library. You can't get into any other space when you use it. But that's something to consider.
Okay.
You have access to the foyer, but I'm not sure that there's anything out there.
No. And you have your own private entrance. So it doesn't, you know, you have that, they have their own unique entrance to that space.
Not that I'm not opposed, but I want to ask county manager this. I mean, as far as the, changing this rule, which I'm not opposed to at all. Somebody's going to have to lock that building up.
Yes.
We could require
you could put you could maybe put some thought to it. Doesn't mean we can't change this now, but put some thought to it, how we get the room locked up after it's over with. Okay. And after such event would be over with. And we can just go ahead and make a motion to go right ahead.
When you go over to the what's the center, Bob Martin, right? When you use their facility, in addition to the fee per day, there is they require a person from their staff to be there, right? They open and they close it, and they're there, you know, to make sure things go as things should go. That's a part of the fee you pay. So
is there an additional fee?
It's included in their fee.
Okay.
Now, whether that this is the right fee, if you want to include that, right? Because you're talking about here, we say 4 hours, right? So if you wanted a person there for 4 hours, we would have to compensate. We don't want to lose money on this thing, but that's something to consider. What would it take? I like the idea of having a person there,
okay,
right? To open, to close, to make sure that things go as they should. That's what they do at Bob Martin.
And maybe some added verbiage in this is that whoever would lease this, since we're opening it up like this, would pay the extra money that it would take to cover that person to open, stay, and close. Okay.
What about
whether you made it separate?
Well, they already have that. It's required for them to do that.
Yeah, that's in there, $50 for that.
Yeah.
In minimum. You don't get it back if you don't clean it properly.
Jonathan?
Just on one legal point to facility use agreements. First of all, it's always good to have all those rules in writing, have somebody sign off on them. When you charge a fee, you always want to be sure that it doesn't look like a money-making enterprise that you're doing. So in other words, you want it to be non-proprietary, not proprietary. Because if you're proprietary, if it looks like you're making, it's a money-making enterprise, then you lose your sovereign immunity. You still got your insurance, you won't lose that, but you don't have that second layer of sovereign immunity if you're charging a rental fee that just looks like it's a big, like a $500 per use thing. And if it only costs you $275 for the person to be there and to clean up, and you don't want to be charging $500. So I just want to make that
right. Yeah. But again, the fee, yeah, exactly. And I agree with that. Sure. Now the fee of $200. Okay. To use that facility. Okay. What is it? $50 for a deposit for cleanup.
Yes.
Incidental. Yes.
Incidental. And then you would turn around and have the person who's open and closing. Would that be considered an issue? I wouldn't think it would be, because all we're doing is retaining our costs, and that's basically it.
You just retain your costs. I guess what I'm saying is, I would a year or two or three. I've researched this, and matter of fact, we were working at one point on a facility use agreement for our recreational, our fields where we have our softball fields and soccer fields. And I have a draft of that. And I was able to communicate with it was a free program where our pool insurance put me in touch with a defense firm that, you know, that handles, you know, personal injury cases where people get injured at public facilities. And I was able to get some really good wording. So I would like just to be able to have an input on just the wording. But I mean, as long as.
Well, let me ask you another question then.
Yeah.
Would it be safe to say that, and again, this is just a thought being thrown out there, that anybody that leases a facility to do what we're talking about have event insurance and would name the county as an added insurer on the policy?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That might actually be in our draft facility use agreement. It's not.
John, if you could look at what Windsor does and what Orlando, mm-hmm. what they do, mm-hmm. they have a policy and they have a include. I think they have a bundled price. But what that price covers, I'm not sure.
Right.
You know, because, you know, wouldn't it be easy if you had a bundle price, which would include that insurance so that it doesn't have to be paid separately. Somebody has to bring you something that covers it. I don't know.
Well, event insurance, I mean, for example, I got it once before for a wedding at a venue. And I went right over here to Phelps and it was like $200. And that's what it cost to have the venue named and me have a liability policy in case somebody got injured.
I just think we want to be careful not to price this out of reasonability for citizens. That's my concern, you know.
I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I just think we also have to cover the county base. You have any thoughts,
Mr. Manager?
It's such a nice
building. I would hate
for, yeah, I mean, I'd like to open it up. You have any thoughts on that, Mr. Manager?
Yeah, it's nice to open up, but I don't want it messed up either.
Yes, yeah. I think you all are exactly right in terms of including the cost. It's going to be additional cost if we have to have someone on staff to be there for the duration of this event. So I do think that should be considered when we establish exactly what the cost of the rental fee
would be. What about event insurance that somebody would have to have? What's your feelings on that?
It would be good. I'm not sure how difficult it would be for people to get
it. It's going
to
be $200. Nobody's going to use it. This place is not being used right now. We want citizens to use this place. It belongs to them. They're paying for it. I mean, look at Bob Martin. They don't charge an outrageous fee, but it covers their expense. They have a person on duty, you know?
I think it is being utilized, though, according to Sheila Powell.
To some extent, I'm
sorry. Well, according to Sheila Powell, the calendar stays pretty full.
That's not what I hear.
That's all I know.
Put it that way.
To Greg's point, though, to Commissioner Atkins' point, that to some extent, I've done some of that work already. I'd like to go back and look at the facility use agreement that we had proposed for the rec facility, and I think that discussion, I think there may be some information in there, and to John's point too, there may be some language in there about people that want to rent it to have their own, well, like insurance against personal property loss. Facility source a renter's insurance, a facility use insurance. Yeah, I mean, I'd be glad to look at it and see. And if it's something that is a cost, but what the question is, I guess the question is, do you want to pass that cost on to the person renting through the facility use fee, or just have them pay that separate?
I don't know.
I would lean on you for that. Look at the total cost. But I would just say, look at what other facilities that we are competing with. A lot of our business here, things that people do, go out of this county to have any kind of celebration. We have nothing really facility for people to use. That doesn't feel good to me. See our citizens going to Martin County, going to other counties to have a wedding reception.
Well, let me ask you a question.
They're using a public facility.
Well, what about the facility fee itself? What's that really going to? What is it going to? Why don't that just cover the event insurance?
Exactly. We don't need to make money.
I don't think we should, be honest with you.
That's right.
I think that, and again, this was 7 years ago when I got that price, but I don't know what it would be right now. It's a one night deal, and that's all there is to it. And well, yeah. Well, the other thing is that thinking about it, if we're charging to use the facility and we don't have or have that coverage to do that, and that's the reason I'd really say that the $200 is not a charge to use a facility. It's kind of like having an employee and non-employee. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, your liability, you're dealing with a subcontractor. For example, the $200 could be used back for event insurance and not be used for a rent. And basically what we're saying is if you pay us $200 to use it, that is a rent, okay? Now that comes into a whole different thing now. And, you know, we built this building off of grants. And I think if I remember correctly, when you researched or the law firm researched the ballpark out here, okay, the recreational park, and we were talking about using it and things of that nature. And we got in a situation where you had to look at the grants to see whether or not you could even charge. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, I did. We did look at that.
And I think there was some language in there that kept us from being able to do that.
We actually had an email exchange with the Part F grant people
about
using it.
Exactly. And I think we're getting in real great territory when we start putting a fee on something that we got a grant to build. Okay. Now, covering us on liability, that's a different statement. Okay. Because it is Bertie County's public. You follow what I'm saying? And we have an obligation to the rest of the citizens.
There was a gentleman that wanted to use our.
I don't even remember now.
Well, yeah.
That's been years ago.
It's coming back to me. There's a guy who wanted to rent. It's like going to be a big bash. He was mm-hmm. a veteran. I think he wanted to.
Yeah.
I really don't remember who it was.
And right. And we got far enough down the path before he changed his mind. But we, I talked to Part F. I talked to our insurance carrier.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to the firm that they. That does a lot of work for them. Mm-hmm. They said they have a program, talk to them for free.
Mm-hmm.
And we are covered. They just want our facility use agreement to be worded certain ways and not look like we're making money.
Right.
Like we're covering our costs. And we were able, even under Part F, even though there were been grants given, we were still going to be able to rent it out.
And that makes sense. Why wouldn't we say to citizens, there's not a fee to you, a charge. It is the cost. Our cost, mm-hmm. right, to do it.
Exactly.
You know, and it's available to the appropriate kinds of activities.
Okay.
You know, yeah, and that covers our true cost.
Exactly.
And that would make it simple. And I bet you that's the way it's done at places like Bob Martin and all, because you pay one fee. There's no insurance. There's no anything. It's all included in that one fee that you pay. And there's no way they're making money off of that.
No.
You know, but it covers their expense, including the person that's there to supervise.
I know the county's covered renting it out. I can check the document that we were pretty close to finalizing to see if it even hinted that the person wanting to rent it would actually get their own coverage. I know exactly what you're saying. It's always good to have additional coverage. And the more coverage you get, the better.
But instead of charging the $200 to do that, just have that go towards the insurance.
We do pay for that.
You think that's fair? Yeah, I think absolutely. It's fair. And still just have the $50 for cleanup or what is it, security deposit or something? I forget
it's,
now.
It's if you clean up yourself, you get it back.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So like a security deposit thing. Okay. Yeah. Does that make sense to everybody?
Can we wait and make a decision on this after all of that's brought back to the table?
I mean, that's
for you. I think it's pretty cut and dry as long as we're covering ourselves liability wise. Yes. I mean, is my opinion. Probably.
I would agree.
Me and all things equal.
Yes.
Okay.
It is a community facility, belongs to the citizens. We need to have a way for them to use it at the least possible cost.
Okay.
So
I was going to.
Attorney Holson and I will do some research, bring it back before the board for final approval. Mm-hmm. But it's our understanding to look into, you know, the cost, insurance, and all of that. But just to be clear, we are opening it up to any agency, personal use, for and for celebration parties or celebrations.
Right.
Okay. But still have to mandate the same ruling and no alcohol beverages yes, and right, things right, of that
no
nature.
Smoking, alcohol, no smoking. Like it says here.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Which will eliminate a lot. Right. I mean, because like weddings, a lot of people want to
right.
have well, champagne.
I mean, I'll be
stuff.
Honest. You look at the other facility. I'm just saying, I think it's okay to, but all the other facilities allow it in this county. They allow that you can have it. You know, at the Windsor, you can have it at Orlando, you can have it all. You have to get a permit to do it, but they allow it. I wouldn't have a problem with us allowing it, quite frankly, but that's whatever.
Okay. I've seen it allowed.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I was trying to remember the one when I was doing the research 6-7 years ago, it seemed like alcohol was going to be allowed and the insurers insure for it, but the person that's getting it has to get the proper permitting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, and at Windsor, I mean, they've had it for years. Same thing with Orlando. People rent them every weekend virtually. No problem.
Okay.
Didn't expect any.
One last question for clarification. The senior center, as you all saw here, events are limited to 4 hours. Are we sticking to that or are we flexible with extending? That you know, sort of thing has to be.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. I think 4 hours is probably
reasonable amount of time. I mean, okay. You don't want all day.
No, exactly.
Okay.
4 hours. Yeah.
Okay.
That's correct. That's correct.
Very true.
Will we not say 11 p.m. probably?
By 11, be done by 11.
You guys good with that?
Yeah. Again, I was just saying, Jonathan, look at what it's good for us to be consistent with the rest of the county. So the other municipalities that do it, let's look at theirs and see what they have, because they do have time requirements on theirs.
Okay.
So we just, and I quote, I hate to say competitors, but where we also go, look at Bob Bart, see what they do. I don't think they allow you over there very late.
Very good.
Okay. All right. Next on the agenda, Mr. Manager, we'll be talking about strategic planning.
When it comes to strategic planning, I have a couple of handouts in your folder as well. Wanted to bring to your attention, we also have an economic development director, Steve Biggs, here, and also our project consultant is Robin Payne, who want to weigh in on the importance of this piece. But the first things that I'll bring to your attention is, you see, this is an excerpt from minutes back in 2013. There were four areas that have been identified. And that page, it looks like that at minutes part two, October 3rd through the 4th, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And I've highlighted a portion for you. And areas of emphasis as far as strategic priorities are concerned included recruiting a fertilizer plant operation and developing a biomass facility, focus on wildlife tourism, hunting and fishing, and promotion of investment projects such as Scott Hall. So again, back in 2013, those were the four areas of emphasis for strategic priorities. But I would also like to bring to your attention this handout right here. And I'm sure all of you are familiar with seeing this, Bertie County Comprehensive Recreational Plan. And that was for years of 2018 through 2028. And this handout is again taken from this document, and it identifies some of the short-term goals for that plan. It comes to recreation as well as the long-term goals. And then, of course, even taking it a couple steps back, this was a blueprint for Bertie, a community economic development plan that was done around 14 or 15. So I mentioned all of that to say we in the past, we have spent money with actually putting the plan, like the framework in place. And I think that's what we were just discussing earlier, and Robin can speak to that. But just the importance, I guess, of following up on exactly where we are with these initiatives and just identifying a plan, action items for us to move forward to make sure that we're actually getting them done. But having something in place is absolutely important when it comes to securing grants, not only for that, but for the whole branding, marketing, travel and tourism piece. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to listen very clearly what you said, because when I know we've talked about this, right?
Yes,
several times. My desire or thoughts would be that this board with county administration, especially Robin and Steve, need to build, and I don't mean a document that's thick. That's not what I'm talking about. But we need to have some vision for what our priorities are.
Yes, sir.
Over the next few years.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And yes, there's a short-term piece and there's a longer piece. But I'm not talking about a fully baked out kind of thing, right? Because I know that costs money. We just we're doing one right now. And it could cost anyway. Community college did one, it cost us $15,000. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm suggesting.
Right.
But right now, I'm not sure we are in sync as what our real priorities are, overall priorities in every economic development, but for financial, you know, what we do with whatever it is, right?
Yes, sir.
That needs to be something that's developed over a conversation with administration and this board.
Yes, sir.
That we can then present. Maybe it's an outline kind of thing, right? But I'm not suggesting anything much, much deeper than that as a starting place, right?
Yes.
That we can then could lead to something else. Because, I mean, what are our top five priorities, short term or long term, for this county? You know, and we need to be able to communicate. I would love to be able to communicate that to our citizens, right? And then to actually, I think what make, you know, Robin's been tremendous for us. Mm-hmm. And Steve, you know what we need. You know the things. But are we working on those? Is it this rather than this or this? I just don't think there's any structure, real overall structure to what we need. I hope I'm articulating that.
Yes, sir.
I think I understand what you're saying. And I agree with that. I do think we need to look at a couple things that we have on here.
Okay. Oh, sure.
That we may want to take out. And I'm going to go over those real quick. Developing a biomass facility. Well, one was put up in West Bertie County, which is biomass, where they burn wood chips and produce steam and electricity, and they send it out to the different plants. Okay. So that was something that was accomplished way back when. All right. And that was done. I think it's Wellens Group or something like that. And then we go from there, the hunting and fishing. I think there was a strong emphasis on that. And matter of fact, we had the Roanoke River flooding. We had at one meeting with different people as far as what we were doing about the flooding in the Roanoke River. We had about 18 or 20 guide services show up that used the Roanoke River, upper Roanoke River, where we're at, as far as rock fishing and things of that nature. One of the papers that Dr. Riggs put together was in reference. I think Robin had a lot of influence on that because I got a copy of it and was sent, of course, to Raleigh, and about how the flooding in the Roanoke River has affected the spawning and things of that nature of rock fishing, okay, and how that has hurt these guides, because in 2 months' time, or I think rock fishing would last 60 days, or maybe it was 30 days, I forget now, they were making like $30,000 a month. I mean, that's a lot of money. Now you can keep one. I think last year we only had 1 week of rock season, I believe was how it worked out. If somebody correct me if I'm wrong. That was taken care of. Now, the next thing, Scotch Hall, time sharing, finance model, blah, blah, blah. You know, Scotch Hall has changed hands a couple times, and I think we need not look at a different angle here, but obviously they were not interested in going to a timeshare situation that would have influxed and helped our ecotourism immensely, okay, and helped themselves immensely, because they had so many years as far as sitting idle and not selling enough houses to
how should I say, replenish the coffers for themselves as far as moving forward. It's now got to be, in my personal experience, just my deal, that it's got now be looking at like it's almost like an annuity. How much is it going to pay a month? Okay. And that's where we came up with the timeshare. We had broached them on that, right, Steve? I meant, and we had an ear at one time and then they sold. Okay. And then everything changed again. So I don't know if you want to add to that.
I would like to add to that. I looked at a couple of weeks ago. And I actually was asking Jonathan a legal question about this, but, they have invited us, they being Anthony Delwig, who has bought the property, has a great team that is already on ground working extremely hard there to improve the property. You'll probably hear before we have the meeting that they've invited each of you to, or I'm getting ready to invite you to it. They're changing the name. It's going to be a total new concept that they're going to have. They've done these all over the country. But there will be a meeting on April 21 at 8 o'clock in the morning. It is actually my EDC meeting, board meeting, that they've invited us to come out and have that meeting. But I certainly wanted to invite y'all.
Where will that be?
It's going to be on the grounds at Scotch Hall
what's the time again, Steve?
8 o'clock in the morning. It'll be at their the pool house, and I think most of us are fairly familiar where that is. And at the same time, certainly invited staff to go. The water department, of course, manager, assistant manager, finance, just so that everybody sees what's going on out there and what their future looks like. So if you don't mind putting that on you, I'll get one out to you, an invitation, but put that on your calendar.
And that makes a lot of sense because that's an important piece. But I guess what I was getting at right now, I mean, there's funds available to us in this county around, quote, enterprise zones, right? Is what they call them now, is enterprise. Mm-hmm. Orlando, that's in.
Orlando's the opportunity.
Opportunity zone, right?
Right.
But then we have qualified census tracts, right? And that's where funds are more easily and readily available for development in those areas, right? And Robin pointed out something to us, to me, Jesse, the other day. We were sitting on a call and we didn't know. Listen, I didn't know. And I just said to the chairman, did we realize that the early college is in a QCT? Remember I said that to Steve? Right. It is. Which makes it available to us for funding to do things there if we so desire. The same thing is true in, you know, the other areas. We need to be building plans around how we get the funding, because that's what it comes down for us in this county, finding the using the available developmental funds where it's easiest to get those dollars and projects, whether it's attracting businesses or housing or whatever we want to do. I mean, Robin, you know this process. I mean, the dollars are, we have to go where the dollars are, don't we, to some degree?
Looking back into the strategic plan, I mean, so all your pieces are put into that strategic plan. So you're, I would say, readily, you're ready to go when you see grant opportunities come up. So whenever you place a grant, you know, or you're putting a project together or an initiative together, you know, it helps to have that strategic planning in place. So,
and that's kind of like what I've seen you do, the big plan, right? Well, what I'm talking about is just getting some agreement in terms of what are the priorities. Is it housing? Is it something else? Is it, what are those big things that we need to be looking at?
Right. Well,
I'm not sure we know what those, I don't know what those are.
Strategic plan, I think it's best if it's done internally. Because then And all these projects and initiatives, you know, they happen together, parallel with one another. It's hard to identify, all right, we're going to focus on this one now, because sometimes that one can take 3, 4, 5 years, you know. So a strategic plan, in my opinion, should be an internal working document where everybody sits down and we start doing those bubble diagrams and we start charting what's happening now, what's your vision for the future, and doing that action plan, that to-do list. I think aside from the fact that it attracts funding, it attracts investment. It gives citizens and existing entrepreneurs a plan to think ahead for the future. It allows us the opportunity to project for funding.
And it gives us some direction, right?
Start looking out.
Absolutely.
It gives us some direction.
Right.
Yeah.
But to me, and I was telling Juan earlier,
it gives us a roadmap to where we want to be. And that's what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. And it's a working plan.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
I think that's more valuable than having somebody else come in.
Totally.
And do all this work.
I'd rather not.
Totally.
All the different departments work together and you get input.
Yes.
To me, it's gold that everybody then is on the same page, mm-hmm. and we're much more aware of what's happening and where we're going. We know, you know, what you're doing. You know, we can share resources. I mean, it's just a much better outcome.
And I agree with that. I mean, it's a roadmap to where we're going to go. Yes, okay. Yes. The direction we're moving in. And I agree with how your thought process and how it's putting it together. And I agree with it not being so massive and more compacted. Okay.
Internal.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Internal, working it.
Working with existing.
Exactly.
Staff instead of paying somebody.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we're.
There's nothing about.
Yeah, I don't think there's a necessity to do that. Yeah. And especially keeping it downsized to the point where it's easy to follow this roadmap, as I'm calling it, to.
We economic. All know the issues here in Berkeley.
Absolutely.
County, what we need and what we hear. So we need to just spend time together so we can map those things out and prioritize those things. That'll give us a framework.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like every time we fill out a grant, I mean, we've got that checklist. You know, we know what we need to get that one project done. I think it's that checklist that's the most important. You know, it keeps us on track, it helps long range budgeting.
Right. Now, my question to the rest of this board is this. Question to the rest of this board is this. You know, this is going to take numerous meetings.
A couple of days.
Okay. Exactly. So, in the months to come, as we're talking about this, I think we need to have Robin in there with us to compile this information. Okay. Is that proper wording? And be able to put it together. Okay. In a package. Okay. For us, for approval, things of that nature. Of course, it's going to be coming from what we're talking about, staff, departments and things of that stuff, and just getting it all wrapped up, bundled up, how we need it done, and then come back with like a final draft for us to look at, and then.
And I think I think it doesn't need to be a tremendously deep, you know.
No.
But it needs to be a clear framework of what are the important factors, what are the elements associated with those, right? And what's involved in focusing on those things.
Right. Yeah, we'll get you started first.
Okay.
Projecting big picture.
Right? Yep.
And then we'll
start narrowing it down.
You know, look out 5-10 years.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Nice if we could spend, maybe over a period of time, even 2 or 3 days,
mm-hmm.
maybe half. You know, and to get this done, this is vital to us, I think.
Yeah. I think you're at a really good point, though. Okay, blueprint for Bertie, and then there was another plan done in 2008, and then you've got the comp plan. All these things are overlapping one another.
Right.
And so, yes. I mean, it's really good that they're doing that. So now it's time to just put all those fingers together.
You mentioned, you talk about internal things we know we need within administration, Juan, right? We know we needed a merit kind of system. We don't have that. We know we need that, right? So there are all kinds of things around economic development, around mm-hmm. every element,
yeah.
right? Budgeting, whatever it is. We need some serious prioritized bullet points on those things. This is what we're going to do in these areas.
Okay. I would think that we need to talk about some dates. We can sit down and start doing this. Yeah. And Juan, if you can start getting some stuff put together, get some dates. Okay. And how we're going to outline towards it. Okay. And, you know, Robin can help with that and get in that position there. Okay. Anything else on strategic plan? You good? All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Sounds. Thank you, Robin. Okay. If there's any other questions on that, I believe we got a closed session set up. Okay. And we'll be going in closed session, and I'm going to need a motion after I read the statute. North Carolina General Statutes 143-318.11A3, 5, and 6. Have a motion, please. Have a second. We have a motion and a proper second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We're now going into closed. All right. The first appointee has been taken care of. Budget calendar.
Commissioners, you have also in your packet, down to the last handout, the budget calendar, and you all have seen this before, but I bring it to your attention again, just to point out a couple of things. And right now we are, today's March 22nd, so we have received budget requests from departments as well as external agencies. Coming up in April, we'll meet with the department heads to discuss recommendations. Have a report due to the LGC April 15th. April 25th through the 18th, we'll work on the actual budget. And then on the 23rd, I will make my budget presentation. So, and of course, if you'll publish the notice of public hearing on the 23rd. So from May 24th to June 3rd, those are, it's about 2 weeks that we have to do the budget work sessions. So if you can, you know, take a look at your calendars, we can confirm that time now, but we don't have to, we still have some time. But if you'll just remember those 2 weeks, May 24th through June 3rd, those will be the dates that we can, the time frame for us to schedule some budget work sessions, May 24th through June 3rd.
I would be most appreciative if y'all would do it that first week rather than the second.
Which is which week?
The week of the 24th.
24th.
Well, 23rd, I got to tell you, I mean, I'm committed.
The both weeks?
The week of the 24th.
Oh, me too.
The 24th through the 30th. I mean, I'm not saying it would be difficult. Cost me a lot of money. I'm just saying. I mean, you're saying through June 3rd, right?
Correct.
But you said 23rd, you're going to present, okay, but even though I got a conflict there. But how, 24th through the, so I, but how many days are we meeting each one of those days? You said?
No.
You were looking for a time?
You've got
2 days.
Right.
2 days at the most.
Right.
Well,
two days at the most is what we.
Can you do any time there?
Yeah, I can certainly do the 31st, 1st, 2nd, 3rd right now on my schedule. I mean, I could do that. I know. 31st of May is a Tuesday.
Correct.
So it's Tuesday.
You can't do it like 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th.
Tell me right now, I cannot. That is the week that I'm scheduled to be out, that week of the 23rd. Those 5 days. I mean, I'm already.
What holiday is it then? The month of May?
The 30th is a holiday.
So
what is it?
It's Memorial.
Correct. So again, this was come up with because we wanted to try to get request that we try to get it done sooner.
Yes.
So, I mean, we can. Into June.
No. Can you move it up in any? You can't really do that. On the 18th, you said the 20th.
Super tough.
All right. Let me ask you.
I got you.
Let me ask a question. Yes, what about
13th or 14th?
The 2nd and the 3rd of June.
Yeah. She has to be down.
I can't do that week at all. I'll be in Alaska on a mission trip. I didn't pick the date, it was picked for us.
Okay. What about the 6th and the 7th?
I'll be back on the 10th.
Oh, you're not a whole nother week. Yeah. Okay, well, look.
And we actually have to meet a meeting on June
6th. Yeah, I'll be zooming in with y'all.
Gotcha.
I can zoom in, I guess, to the budget stuff. And, I mean, I'm going to be, I'll have internet where I'm at.
Okay. So will I. Might hear pop so fans. Just set it and I'll do it. I can't be in physically, but if you're looking at the week of the 23rd, I can certainly come in by, you know.
Those are about the 2 weeks that work well with getting it done so that it could be done early.
But okay.
But again, we have
all right, then let us back up. Let us back up to
okay.
The 24th.
But Tammy says she's okay.
She's going to zoom in.
Materials before I leave.
I thought she said she's okay to zoom in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So one of us is going to have to zoom in. No need of both of us having to.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you're saying. So which one do you want to comment? It doesn't matter. Man, I'm saying I will give up the 24th.
I was just going to say, if you're both going to zoom in, that's fine. I mean,
no, one would have to zoom 1 week. One would have to zoom the other. So I said one of us would have to give up. And that's what I'm saying. Tammy, the week you could zoom in would be when?
We leave the 31st, so that's a travel day. And we come back we leave on the 10th, and that would be a travel day. So any other time I could zoom.
So the 1st through the 3rd you could?
Yes.
So, okay, so you can accommodate that, or then I could, you know, physically be here, or you can move to the week of the 23rd and I will zoom in and she will be here. I'm just saying, one of the two.
Yeah, that's fine with me. So if we say the 24th, okay, and the 20th, okay. Right. Is the 24th acceptable as a day?
For me, yes.
Yeah, for me too. Okay.
Are you okay, Tammy?
Yeah, I'm good.
I mean, see, she
her.
Then I'm got. I was zooming.
Okay.
Not a big deal.
All right. Then
I don't need both of us to be here.
Okay. Now, for the second meeting, the next day, I mean, 2 days to go over budget if need be.
Exactly. See how it goes the first day. If we need a second day, we can.
Okay. So 24th and 25th.
Want to start earlier than.
It's fine with me. I don't care.
9.
Suits me.
Keep in mind, we do have a meeting on the 23rd, but that's not to say that the 24th can't work.
So. Won't be there on the 23rd.
Okay. Okay.
And I'll just say this. So I'll be.
Let me ask you a question.
I'll be the one calling in.
You said right. We have a meeting on the 23rd, on May 23rd.
Yes, sir.
The guy just don't have it on here. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, it's good. So, work session.
It's a work session.
Okay. Do we want to put the budget?
That's what I have to.
During that work session.
Commission meeting is May 2nd.
Right.
I got a 10 a.m. work session that day.
So we need that?
I just say let's back it up to the 23rd and use 23rd.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Wait a minute. When are you presenting?
Says 23rd.
I'm presenting on.
Exactly.
23rd. Right. At the work session.
Do we need the work session, Ron? You can still present on the 23rd. Do we need a work session?
Or do you suggest that we move to make it a 6 o'clock meeting instead of a work session?
No, I'm just saying if you were presenting on the 23rd, could we then not work? I mean, how long is your presentation? Is that long? Likely to be?
Oh no, I mean just.
Yeah, so we work 2 days. Right. If we didn't work 2 days, couldn't it be that day, the 23rd and the 24th, rather than 24th?
That's what I was saying. You ready to say?
The day you present, that could be the first day.
Okay.
So it's 23rd and 24th.
Okay.
Exactly. What time is the meeting on the 23rd?
10.
Okay. Okay. And the 24th.
Can you make the
24th? No, I'm out the whole week. That's what I'm saying. Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, change this once. I got to go home, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. This is the vacation. Oh, yeah. I've changed it once. I'm just saying, this person, like, I, and I've changed it once. You know the drink. And now this is what I refer to. I got insurance, but I don't know if I can change it again.
Right.
It was about $5,000.
Okay.
Gotta go over to my wife.
And that's when I agreed to go on the mission trip. I asked, am I going to have internet? You know, because I knew I'd have to zoom in to one meeting.
All right, so we got set the 23rd and the 24th.
Okay.
And on the 23rd is a regular scheduled commissioners meeting, right?
Yes, sir, work session.
Mm-hmm. At 10 a.m.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you can present the budget then, correct?
Yes, sir.
And then we can work on the budget after that, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then we need Big come back on the 24th.
Yes, sir.
Everybody okay with that?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, upcoming meetings.
Tomorrow, some staff and I and maybe one commissioner will be traveling to Hertford for LGC fiscal training tomorrow from 2 to 5. And coming up in July is NACO's annual conference in Colorado from July 21st to 24th.
When we do virtual again, what day did we say it was on?
I can have to do both days, 23rd and 24th.
No, the virtual
training.
Training.
We said Tuesday, March 29th
in the
conference room at 9:00.
Okay, gotcha. That's what I got. Gotcha. Okay.
29th.
9:00. So we'd be done by 12.
Yeah, 9:12. That's right. We said that. Yeah. Right.
Can we do commissioner's comments real
quick? Sure.
Tomorrow at the high school, you can sign up to give blood. But also Thursday, they're doing a blood drive at the community building, and it's in honor of our deputy, Coulter Lipscomb, that was in the wreck. Going to be giving blood that day.
Okay. I've got something also. People are involved with the church plan as far as LP gas goes. Diversified Energy has been sold. Oh. Another company has bought them. I think they're called Sparks. Excuse me. Did we come out of closed session? Yeah, we did. Exactly. He just asked the question. So I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure we do. All right. Anyhow, Diversified Energy has been sold. Okay. Found this out last week. Got a call. Another company has bought them. Very corporate. They were having meetings this week as far as what they do and how they deal with the communities and things like that. I am not saying that there won't be a church program, but I am saying there is new ownership and they are very corporate supposedly, and they are new to this type of area, and we will find out what they intend to do in the years coming. And I think everybody ought to be prepared to probably never see LP gas at this time where it has been in the past. Due to the fact of what gasoline has done, LP and natural gas, everything's following the same suit. Hopefully we get back to a little normality, but we'll see what happens.
That church program has been very well received, and there are a lot of folks who are getting significant discounts.
Absolutely.
As a result of that. But let me also say that other counties, and I found in Suburban, which is another major gas company in this area, will honor diversified pricing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the whole intent, was to create the competition, yeah, to make other companies match or get to where they needed to be due to the fact they would be losing accounts. And that was achieved, was to create the competition that was needed to get LP gas from $3.50, $3.75 a gallon down to where it was reasonable. And that was $1.59 to $1.79. And I think it's all we ever paid. And so
there are hundreds of people in this county on this program, John, right?
Absolutely.
My church alone has probably 50.
I can tell you right now, there's more than hundreds. It's in the thousands range, okay? So I would think that they're going to think long and hard as far as what they need to do or how they're going to do it. And we'll just go from there. So, and that's been in place for, I know, 9.5, 10 years now. So anyhow, anybody have anything else? If there's nothing else, I will take a motion to
second.
Have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
We did this.